Economics on KGO 810. The election is over and the markets have settled down for the most part. On this week's Techonomics, we start with a look at one area that was a consensus issue coming into November, tax reform. How does President Trump deal with corporate taxes and possibly repatriation? Host Jason Middleton speaks with a wealth manager as well as Washington, D.C. analyst. Also this week, breaking the glass ceiling, at least for women in business leadership roles. The author of a new book talks about the lessons that successful women have learned and how other women can apply them. There's some tech talk with nationally known journalist David Pogue. Also this week, there's a Techonomics take on an advertising startup that helps advertising be more effective and less intrusive. All that and a little more on this week's Techonomics, starting now on KGO 810.
Whether you're dusting yourself off or patting yourself on the back, the election is over. So, now what happens? Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. And to start things off this week, we are focusing on what seems, at least, to be an area of consensus, tax reform. Taxes were a campaign issue in that avoiding them was sometimes seen as good financial acumen. Regardless of politics, though, the federal tax code is 187 times longer than it was a century ago. That's a lot of pages of loopholes and laxity. How many pages? In 1984, the code had 26,300 pages. 30 years later, the code is closer to 75,000 pages. We start this week with a wealth analyst and tax expert from Morgan Stanley.
George Snocchetti, wealth advisor at Morgan Stanley in Walnut Creek, California.
We also have a financial analyst and the D.C. bureau chief at Bankrate.com.
Yes, Mark Hamrick, H-A-M-R-I-C-K. I'm senior economic analyst with Bankrate.com in Washington, D.C.
We will start the chat with George Nocetti, wealth advisor at Morgan Stanley. And my question is about Wall Street and whether capital U uncertainty needs to be repriced into the stock market.
Well, the game has been changed. Hillary Clinton, the Democrats, it was baked in on the stock market for a win. Internationally, it was baked in for Hillary Clinton to win. And we wake up and we have Donald Trump and a Republican platform going forward. Now, we had expected when this happened for the market to drop significantly. Well, it hasn't. It's kind of up and down a little bit. But if you go back to Barack Obama, when he won in 2008, by an overwhelming majority, won the Senate and won the House, the market tanked. It was down 5%.
That's true.
Is not unusual after an election for the market to show some inconsistencies.
Now, the same question about uncertainty being priced into the markets for Mark Hamrick, D.C. bureau chief at Bankrate.com.
Well, I think when you saw the dramatic decline in stock market futures before the election result was made, let's say, final, that told you that financial markets do not like uncertainty. You don't like sudden surprises, and they got a big dose of that.
As the week wore on, the markets adapted quickly to the upset victory of President-elect Trump. Arguably, they adjusted quicker than the political types did. So what about consensus points? Well, the Federal Reserve's role in the recovery came up during the election quite a bit. What happens with the Fed as we turn the calendar to 2017? This time, let's start with Bankrate's Mark Hamrick.
Well, this is one of the most important questions that, let's say, has a new look to it, and that is that it may well be now that Fed Chair Janet Yellen is a lame duck. Her term expires in early 2018, so there is some time to go. But candidate Donald Trump was quite critical of her stewardship of the Fed, and so it remains to be seen whether he would renominate her. I think right now the betting suggests that he would not.
That's a glance at the fate of Fed Chair Janet Yellen. Now, George Nocetti, what's your take on Yellen and the Fed rate hike?
Well, prior to yesterday, we had predicted about an 80% chance that in December, Janet Yellen would raise the discount rate. But now, with the Republican president, Republican House, Republican Senate, it's likely that Trump will replace federal chairman or chairperson Janet Yellen. Now, this won't happen, of course, today. He has to be in office. So because of that, because he's mentioned this in his campaign, if that's true, you might see the Fed hold off on having a raise in December. So our probability is really down to about 20% chance of a raise in December now.
Wow, talk about a whipsaw. That's a huge change. Yeah, that's a real flip.
Exactly. There's a lot of uncertainty because if it had been Hillary Clinton, she's predictable. She's been around for a long time. You know what was going to happen. But with Trump being new to the political arena, there's a lot of promises, as all candidates candidates will make. Now there's the implementation part.
Now to the meat of the matter, corporate tax reform. American corporations are sitting on scads of overseas cash. I'm talking trillions of dollars offshore waiting to be repatriated, but only if the tax rate comes down. Here's George Nocetti.
Well, yeah, this is interesting because Trump is directly in line with the Republican doctrine. And what's happened now is he'll be offering an historic across-the-board cut in rates. He would reduce the number of federal tax rates that we have now at 7. He'll reduce those to 3 with a top tax rate of 33% for married couples earning $225,000 or more. Now, that's down from the current rate of 39.6%. That's a huge cut. He also has called for reducing the United States business corporation tax down to 15% from a high of 35%. And so this is an effort to keep companies from leaving for countries with lower tax rates. Then Trump also supports a one-time repatriation of the U.S. companies' corporate tax profits held overseas, taxed at 10%. So this plan is set up really to lower taxes and to provide a stimulus in the economy, which we'll probably see initially. However, it's probably going to increase the deficit over a longer period of time.
Let's put the corporate tax rate into some perspective, if we could, George. So
sure.
How is the American corporate tax rate in comparison to other developed economies?
Well, it's arguably one of the highest of all democratized countries in the world. And so that gives us an unfair competitive opportunity to sell more goods and services. So this would be an opportunity to encourage corporations to stay here, produce more jobs, and help to stimulate the economy by doing that.
When we talk about tax reform, you touched on something that's kind of a third rail here in Silicon Valley as well. That's repatriation of overseas assets. Let's put that in perspective as well. What do you see as a possibility there for major corporations? I'm thinking Apple.
Well, major corporations have located their corporate office overseas because the tax rate is lower and the profits have to be kept there overseas. So that's a negative for the U.S. economy. So Trump's plan calls to penalize those corporations that are doing that to try to cause them to come back here and help stimulate our economy.
Economic analyst at Bankrate.com, Mark Hamrick, what's your tax take?
Well, let's talk about the notion that Donald Trump was elected to essentially resolve the ills of those who have been left behind by this economic recovery. We know that the new normal for growth in the United States has really been at a 1 to 2% annual growth rate. And Donald Trump and many others believe that one of the ways to lift growth would be to have significant tax reform, including corporate tax reform, that would help to get some of this money, which has essentially been parked offshore, many companies do that, bring it back to the United States, have more investment in the United States, and that would presumably then feed back into more workers being added and also help the federal government capture more revenue, which it needs.
Did repatriation come up during any discussion that you saw leading up to the election day?
It's absolutely the case that Donald Trump has mentioned the notion of repatriating essentially corporate dollars as part of his corporate tax reform pitch. So there does seem to be support for this in Congress, which, as we know, remains in Republican control. House Speaker Paul Ryan is regarded as a fan of this, and so perhaps they'll still have to iron out exactly what the legislation looks like when Trump becomes the actual president, but this does seem to be high on the agenda.
To conclude our prognosticating, I asked for some macro takeaways from Election Day. Just where and how could we see economic growth in a Trump presidency? Let's start with Mark Hamrick.
Well, there are a number of areas that would seem to benefit from a Trump presidency. And with respect to infrastructure improvement or more spending on roads, bridges, highways, and the like, you'd have heavy equipment, the metals. If Trump is successful in reducing federal regulation, that should help the pharmaceutical and biotech industries. He's also indicated that he's a fan of traditional sources of energy. We know that he campaigned strongly around coal country, said that Obama was essentially an enemy of coal, and so the breadth of energy stocks may benefit. I think, however, the stock market also just does need for Trump to be successful in energizing growth prospects for the United States, because when it's all said and done, growth is what powers corporate earnings, obviously coinciding with the level of interest rates. And if he can be successful in addressing those problems, then that should give the stock market a boost.
And the last word on possible economic expansion under Trump goes to Morgan Stanley's George Nocetti. What sectors should we be watching on the S&P for some activity?
Well, clearly, I think you could see the energy sector, and that should really benefit from less EPA regulations. I think that will definitely happen. Utilities, we should see that as a really strong sector because we will see an increased benefit to coal and natural gas. That was going to go the other direction with a Democratic presidency. So we'll see that change. And also on the financial side, we'll probably see a repeal of the Dodd-Frank regulation, which was brought up in 2008 as a way of causing the banks not to get over-leveraged. So we'll probably see that happen. So if you look at Trump's total plan, as we see it, he'll reduce federal tax revenue by about $6.2 trillion over the next 10 years. And of those tax cuts, nearly about 47% will go to the top 1% wage earners. So to put it into dollar terms, you know, those individuals earning less than $48,000 will experience an annual cut in their taxes of about $400, while those earning in excess of $700,000 will walk away with an average extra income of about $215,000 per year.
I think this part is worth repeating if we're going to talk taxes.
Those individuals earning less than $48,000 will experience an annual cut in their taxes of about $400, while those earning in excess of $700,000 will walk away with an average extra income of about $215,000 per year.
Again, that was George Nocetti, a wealth analyst and financial commentator. George is with Morgan Stanley in Walnut Creek, California. We also spoke with Mark Hamrick. Mark is a longtime business and financial editor. He's also the Washington, D.C. bureau chief for Bankrate.com. There's a set of tax reform links from several different political angles at Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. I'll also tweet a collective link at KGO Jason on Twitter. Coming up after this short break, we turn our attention to the corner office, that glass box with that glass ceiling for too many women. A Wall Street Journal management editor and a new author is coming up next. I am Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.